Hey, it's Kim from the Conscious Kitchen podcast, where we mix healing and vulnerability into a spicy soup of nail-biting conversations. Join me this season because we're healing no matter what the fuck happens.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be interviewing you, Einar. And starting with this first question, how do you feel like hypnotherapy can help us unlock all of our hidden potential and help us crush our goals while keeping it very real, realistic, and on point?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to start off with a baseline of what hypnotherapy is and what it isn't, just so that we're sort of calibrated throughout this entire conversation. So like what hypnotherapy is not, right? Like it's not mind control. I'm not out in these streets forcing people to give me money or do some wild dances. It's not like absolute sleep, and it's not like a form of amnesia, right? Like people who do hypnotherapy are always going to remember the sessions that they have. And I think what hypnotherapy is will be defined differently based on maybe who you ask. I think because I have such a strong spiritual connection and component that is with hypnotherapy, that my definition, I think, is more spiritual, I guess. So I would say for me that, you know, all hypnotherapy is self-hypnosis, right? I'm only really there as a guide and a facilitator, and that it's a way to access the subconscious mind, bypassing the conscious mind, in order for us to like really make lasting and positive change that we want in our life. You know, everyone can be hypnotized for the most part. I would say that in rare cases, if someone has like a mental or psychological disorder, or if they're on like any mind-altering drugs, that maybe that could impact it. But for the most part, everyone can be hypnotized. And the conscious mind is only really 12% of what we use, and that's more cause and effect. And the subconscious mind is 88%. So, or the subconscious mind is the cause and effect, and the 12% of the conscious mind is sort of like the action and the reaction that we do to that. So our subconscious mind controls our self-esteem, our emotions, our beliefs, our immune systems, our bodies, and all of those components also impact our goals. They impact the goals that we create, the goals that we set to achieve, and maybe even the goals where we like shit on ourselves over and over because we're not achieving that goal, or we constantly have this goal that maybe we want to release 15 pounds and it's a goal that we've had for like 4 years, right? And so because our subconscious mind really rules these kind of areas, it's really important for us to work in partnership with the subconscious mind in order to achieve the goals that we really desire. And I think for me, it's really important when I'm working with any client to figure out the why of the goal, because everything is energy, right? Including our thoughts, and that's including the thoughts that are projected onto us. So sometimes I think people set goals for themselves that are accidentally placed on them, you know, maybe by family, maybe by ideologies and constructs, capitalism, you know, whatever that may be. And so because of that, because it's not inherently coming from us authentically, right? It becomes really hard to achieve those goals because they weren't ours to begin with. So that's like a really important component of how we can really work in partnership with the subconscious mind. Like, let's get to the root of what we really want. Like, what is for us? What is the karma that we're trying to clear that came before us? And what are we moving towards that is truly authentic to who we are?
Wow, that's so, so resonant. And I'll just speak a little bit to what you said, because you said so many beautiful things. But I feel like, especially living in a capitalistic society, and I'll just speak for myself, sometimes I have these deep urges to like apply to a 9-to-5 job because I'm not making X amount of money. And then you said something interesting about like setting these goals for ourselves that probably aren't even ours. It's like something our subconscious is telling us that you're not enough, or this is something that has been passed on karmically to you. And so it's interesting how you brought that up about noticing sometimes the goals that you set for yourself are not truly what you want. It's what your subconscious is telling you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of times we set goals and we're pretty unconscious as to why we're even setting them. Or the thing that we want is over there. And we keep saying that once I get over there, then I will feel X, Y, and Z. I will feel worthy. I will feel loved. All of these things, forgetting that the right here and where we're at and being present here is really what's going to help us achieve those goals and maybe redefine those goals or evolve what those goals originally were.
Wow. And so, you know, with that being said, tell me, as a psychic medium, tell me about tapping into the spiritual realm. How do you do that? How do you do that? And so in a way that we can vibe with our subconscious desires and goals, especially since a lot of us are using social media. So how can we tap into our spiritual realm using our subconscious in this digital age?
Yeah, you know, I think what COVID taught us and one of the gifts that we received from COVID is the reminder of the fact that everything is energy, right? And the point that I made that everything is energy, including our thoughts. And so what that means is that at a quantum level, even if it's digitally, even if it's, if I'm here on the West Coast and it's someone in a different country or on the East Coast, there is a way for us to collectively connect to one another digitally, even if we are not physically together, because we are all made of the same stuff, right? And because we are all energetically connected together. And so I mentioned, right, that like hypnotherapy and working with the subconscious mind is a spiritual experience for me. And that includes the hypnosis work that I do with clients. And what I do to kind of tap in, you know, when I first started my training, I think now 3 years ago, my psychic mentor has been practicing and been a psychic for over 45 years. I used to have this very rigid ritual where right before I saw a client, I needed at least 15 minutes in like meditation. And I have this physical anchor that I put on my fingers where if I, you know, like hit my middle finger with my thumb like this, it drops me in cyclic. So I had, and I was like, I need to do all these things. But I realized as time went on that I was doing this ritual out of fear that I wasn't prepared, out of fear that I would have a skeptic in front of me, out of fear that I wasn't enough to just sit and hold this space for someone, right? And so I have now kind of evolved to this place where any ritual can just be like this trusting that I can always tap in and that all of us can always tap in no matter what. Of course, we need to drink water, right? Like I definitely need to hydrate. And I also ensure that my clients have water with them as well during the session because it just helps us to connect. So there are those very physical human things that we have going on. But you know, now for the most part, sometimes it's like taking 5 minutes to like dance around my office before I, in my gender transition, because I'm a transgender man, the song Love Myself, I believe from Haley Seinfeld, right? Mm-hmm. Like was a really big song for me to listen to. So sometimes I listen to that before coming in with the client. So the ritual is just like, let me just move my body and let me have energy before I connect with someone and we're plugged in to this bigger source that's kind of like connecting all of us. And honestly, I think it's the intention that as I've moved forward with my spirituality and I began to trust that even more, just closing my eyes and setting an intention before seeing a client, I'm already trusting that whatever's going to happen in the next 60 minutes is meant to happen and is supposed to unfold in the way that it is. So I've actually just moved away from like, I need to do all of these things and just dipped more into the surrendering and the trust.
Wow. And with that being said, is there like a story or is there, you know, a story that you can share that, you know, encapsulates someone that you've talked to that has truly leveled up and achieved or has been able to reach their goals through psychic mediumship and hypnotherapy?
Yeah, I actually have a great example. She's a long-term coaching client of mine. So I've been working with her for about a year now. And we've done a lot of inner child work. You know, there's the inner child of like kind of like the elementary age. And we've worked a little bit with like the inner teenager. Mm-hmm. But this session specifically was around the topic of not feeling good enough that I think most of us can really relate to, right? So, you know, she's not feeling really good enough. And there's this kind of dynamic with the friends group. And so we do hypnosis and we're working with her subconscious mind to just get a little bit more information. And that's kind of how simple it is. And the whole part I spoke about the surrendering and the trust. Mm-hmm. I trust the subconscious mind is going to show us exactly what it needs to show us in that moment. And it took us to a playground at school. And a memory where she was with a group of friends and it was a group of girls where she really wanted their approval. So they were like friends, but you know, for the most part, she really wanted just their approval. And they had this plan to sing A Whole New World, like to practice singing A Whole New World, and then sing it to a teacher. Just because that's what kids do, right? They're like, watch me sing the song. So they all practice together and she finds out that they sang the song without her. Like they went to the teacher and left her out. And in that moment, the subconscious mind accidentally downloaded, I'm not good enough. And with this group of friends who give off this type of energy, I will then always feel this way, right? So the beautiful thing about hypnosis is that we're able to really like recreate those moments so that we can have the subconscious mind unlearn that and replace something new. But as we're working through it, I felt a presence come in and I asked her, you know, do you have an aunt who passed away? This would be an aunt that you've never met, but that you have like this kind of connection to. And she said, yeah, you know, my dad's sister died before I was born. I was actually named after her, or I believe it was her middle name that she was given. And it was this really beautiful moment where her aunt came into the session and helped to facilitate the healing, introduced herself to her inner child. So now there's this meeting and connection that's happening in parallel, right? And it's like almost spiritual plane that's happening at the same time. And she gets to meet her aunt, and her aunt is telling her that I experienced the same thing as you when I was a child and was there as a guide to help facilitate the healing. I know I was just so wowed. And I mean, honestly, I love the work that I do because I experience magic every day because of it. But that session in particular was just so amazing because one, she got to meet her aunt as an older self through hypnotherapy, but her younger self also got to receive the support from her aunt that she didn't get to receive growing up because her aunt had passed away. So that I was just so grateful for that moment. And you know, usually in sessions, I say like, I'm opening myself up to any spiritual guides, ancestors, loved ones who are needed to facilitate the healing for this session. So that is just, it's one of my favorite sessions to talk about because really, truly the magic that we both experienced in that moment, there's just not enough words, I think, to really describe what that felt to be present in that.
Wow. Wow. That is absolutely incredible. And when you were saying that, I had like goosebumps all down my arms. And, you know, to folks who don't know, right, like about past life regression. So tell me a little bit about like how people can use past life regression to allow them to break through these subconscious patterns, find major breakthroughs, and what is past life regression for people who aren't aware of it?
Yeah, so I think I'll start off with astrology. I'm not super well versed with astrology, but for those of for those people who really know astrology, there's something called our north and south nodes, right? And our south nodes are kind of like the characteristic traits, the karma that we're moving away from that we experienced in past lives. And then we're moving towards our north nodes, which is essentially what we're meant to do in this life, the purpose that we're supposed to fulfill in this life to clear that. Otherwise, the belief is, and I share this belief, that we will come back in the next life to just do it all over again, right? So if I'm having clients who are kind of like feeling stuck and they're getting in their own way, right? Like essentially what's going to happen is that if they choose, because the choice and the free will really matters here, if they choose to not move forward in this healing, this life, I am absolutely in the belief mindset that they will just come back and they will have to do it again. Right. So for past life regression, this has happened in hypnotherapy where I've had clients come and they are being brought to a past life. And I don't know how it works and how it happens. I just know that there's something about the experience and witnessing of a past life that just zaps that healing and allows someone to just clear whatever that was. So let's say that someone has chronic neck pain, that they've always had this neck pain. And then they go into a past life and realize that in a previous life, they might have got shot in the neck, or like they got something, some violence happened in the neck area, and then it was brought over here. For some reason, again, I don't know how it works, just the witnessing and the remembering of that just completely eliminates that symptom kind of all together. And sometimes it's not that physical, right? Like sometimes it's not as obvious as like an actual wound. You know, maybe it's violence. You know, maybe it's the throat chakra that is constantly stuck. Maybe in a past life, you had a hard time speaking your truth. And that's sort of how it manifested into this life.
So I stumbled upon something recently that's honestly changed my mornings for the better. Have you ever heard of Magic Mind? Well, before I was guzzling down coffee like there was no tomorrow. But now I just pop open this little green shot with my first cup of matcha in the morning. It's got a surprisingly good taste and just slides right into my usual morning routine. Being as swamped as I am, it has been a freaking game changer. Seriously, give Magic Mind a go. It's become my little morning magic trick.
Go to www.magicmind.co/conscious kitchen and get up to 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days with our code CKPODCAST.
So sometimes when we're doing hypnotherapy, you know, there is like specific certification that you can get in past life regression. I have not yet done that certification. And I've had sessions with clients where they are naturally there. And as a hypnotherapist, like we don't know what's going to happen, right? We can't control the setting. Again, we're just there as a guide. And there have been many sessions I've had where people have gone into their past lives, have shared that. And then we come back to the present to find out what the meaning of that was, what the purpose of that was, and then apply it to what's going on here in this life. But the North and South nodes are a really great way for people who are really data driven, right? Or who really need to see metrics. I'll do the North and South nodes with clients. So for instance, my South node is in Virgo and my North node is in Pisces. So for Virgo, I'm moving away from needing more control. It took me a while to admit that I needed a lot of that, but needing more control, moving away from being overworked, overanalyzing, and moving towards self-acceptance, moving towards accepting my psychic gifts and enlightenment. And you know, the self-acceptance part was such a huge area for me in this lifetime as a transgender man, right? Like the work that I had to put in to see myself in the mirror, to accept that this is my truth, and then to be able to share that with the world and with my family, right? So I was just really wowed when I realized what my North node was and that I was just sort of naturally moving in that place. And it made me feel really good. So with clients, I'll muscle test them for their South node and North node just to get a baseline to see where they're at. And then maybe we're seeing, okay, you know, if your North node is in self-acceptance and you're muscle testing that you're at around 23%, let's focus on that as one of our goals. What can we do together so that you can have more self-acceptance? So that in relation to past life regression, I just think is a really powerful way to figure out where we come from. You know, I think when we think about where we come from, we think about just this life, right? But there are many lives. And I mean, I believe in the multiverse, right? Like they're all just happening at the same time. So yeah, I just think for anyone who's just trying to understand or maybe feel like I've been here before, or I feel really connected to this place, I believe that there's absolutely a reason why, and that there was likely a connection they had in a past life.
Oh, that is beautiful. And I love everything you said about past life regression and like how we're all existing in multiple different planes, like infinite planes at the same time. That, like all of that seriously interests me, because when I think about my past life and when I think about like my fears in this life, everything sort of makes sense, because when you entertain the past life regressions, you're seeing that you're not existing in a silo. There is a reason to everything, even karmically. So thank you for mentioning that, because it's so real. And like to add on to this, just a personal share. So I have been terrified of driving my whole life. Like I don't know how to drive. I live in LA, which is crazy. I have no idea how to drive. And my parents are like pressuring me to drive. And like every time I get in a car, this is like since I was so little, I've always imagined being in a car accident ever since when I was younger. I would get car sick so easily. And then I talked to like a past life regression facilitator maybe last year. And it all seemed to make sense that in a past life, I probably died in a car accident, right? And you mentioned something so beautiful, which is like just witnessing your past life allows you to move past it, or like that neck pain analogy, right? Maybe you won't even get the neck pain once you have not acknowledged where it came from, because that's what happened to me. Once I acknowledge like this is probably what happened to me in a past life, I now want to learn how to drive. So everything you said on a personal level, that's, I was like,
amazing. Yep. Yeah, because you know the body remembers, right? Mm-hmm. Like you sitting in that car, you're like, I don't know what this is, but we remember everything from our past lives, and our body will tell us that. I have a recurring dream that a comet is hitting, or maybe I was a dinosaur in a past life, I don't know, and it's probably why I love dinosaurs now, but I have a recurring dream that a comet hits Earth and I literally experience my death by disintegrating. It's actually to the point where I can't really watch like space movies where there's a comet about to hit Earth, because I feel, I can't even explain what the feeling is in my body, but it's just like, it's a lot of like terror. So yeah, like that just gave me information, right? Of like, oh yeah, there's something here and my body is just remembering this, right? So that's absolutely right. I think that sometimes we try and make sense of like why, and that's the 12% of our conscious mind, right? Yeah. It's like, why is this? And we want to find the answer. And sometimes the answer is in that 88%. Wow. Even just the simple fact of accepting that can help us to move forward.
Wow. And so tell me a little bit about people who might think, you know, the subconscious mind, for people who have no idea how to work with it, who've never worked with folks like you before, people who think that this is woo-woo, or people who just dismiss this, right? How can people start embracing the power of their subconscious mind, you know, instead of just brushing it off, so that they can work with it instead of against it?
Yeah. You know, the first thing I'll say is that we are hypnotized every single day. And I think a really simple example of that is driving, right? Like a lot of us can relate to, maybe not you right now, right? There's a percentage of the population who can relate to getting from point A, maybe, I mean, you've honestly probably experienced it as a passenger, like getting to point A to point B and not even remembering how you got there. Right? Like that is literally you being hypnotized. The subconscious mind knows how to drive. That's why a lot of people say the whole saying, like, it's like riding a bike. It doesn't matter how long you haven't been on a bike. Once you get back on a bike, you remember how to ride a bike. So that's probably the first thing I'll say, is that it does. It happens to us every single day. And the second thing I'll say is that if anyone comes to me as a skeptic, right? Like I'm not really in the business of convincing people of my beliefs. But I am in the business of helping people. And so if I have someone who is a skeptic, it is important for me to stay in my truth and say, here are my beliefs, right? Like one of the first questions that I ask people is like, do you have a spiritual belief? And if they say no, then I'm not going to say I can't work with you, right? But I will share that this is sort of how I run my sessions. At a foundation, I'm always using my psychic senses. I am channeling my spiritual team and my angels as I'm sitting in this session with you. I believe that this is a spiritual experience, and I will be sure to not use language, or one, to mirror language they're using, but to also not use language that might feel charged. I think hypnotherapy is a pretty charged term, unfortunately, right? Because there's so much good that comes from it, but it is, it's scary for a lot of people, especially if they've heard a lot of myths or if they've gone to one of those like staged hypnosis events where someone is doing something really silly, right? Or I won't use like psychic mediumship, even the word psychic. When I meet strangers and they ask me what I do, I just tell them I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm not going to tell them I'm a psychic medium, because one, it probably is going to open up a conversation that I don't really want to have in that moment. But two, like that just, it's just so charged. So I will be very selective about my language. And it's really important that with the client that I'm matching and mirroring whatever the language is that they're using. So, you know, maybe I'm working with their subconscious mind in the session, but maybe I'm calling it something different, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're more data driven, then I can tell them, you know, let's say my goal whenever I work with the client is, if this is the first time I'm going to see you, I'm going to act like I'm never going to see you again. So it is my personal goal to have you walk away with a technique, a mindset, something that you can do that is going to help continue facilitate your healing after this. And one of the ways that we can get data by, again, not using these really charged terms, is by discovery, right? So I'd probably ask a client, okay, here's just all I want you to do. Just move through your life. And the next time you get triggered, I just want you to pause and I want you to ask yourself what happened before that. And that's it. You don't have to do anything with it. Did someone say something particular? Was it a specific word? Was it an action? Was it a smell? Just take note of it and you don't have to do anything with it at all. And then I want you to move through the world again. And when it happens again, because it will, again, you pause, take inventory. What happened? I promise you, you're going to find what the pattern is. And so in that case, if I'm working with anyone who's a skeptic, I'm just going to ground them back into their everyday lived experiences of the trauma work and the way trauma comes out of our bodies, the way that we respond to it, the way that we accept or reject love, ideologies, anything like that. And I'll just ask them to take note and they're going to find a pattern, right? So again, I'm not going to convince you this is the subconscious mind. It's 88% of what we do and it's spiritual. I'm just going to say, let your experiences speak for themselves. And when you want to undo those patterns and rewire it, then you can come back to me and or I can refer you to someone if my work doesn't resonate with you, because I know that I'm not for everyone.
Wow. So powerful. And are there any tools or techniques that you're open to sharing with us here from hypnotherapy, psychic mediumship that, you know, we can use for, or anyone listening can use for, you know, their goals or just, you know, maintaining their own routines, what have you?
Yeah, I really love teaching my clients muscle testing because it's a very quick way to just get information. I think it's also a great and fast way for people to associate with their bodies, to kind of really own their self-trust and intuition to see how it works, and for people to get answers fast. I use muscle testing every single day, literally for everything. I use it over my supplements. You know, when I take my testosterone injections every week, I have the set kind of dose I'm supposed to do. But sometimes I'll muscle test and ask my body, like, is this the right dose? Or do I need maybe less or a little bit more for this week? Right. So muscle testing, I think, is really great just because of the fact that it just helps you to stay in alignment with yourself. And then honestly, outside of that, I ask for my clients to look for the magic every day because it's just there, you know, and I don't think that we're really brought up to be so hyper aware of our lived experiences. You know, a really great example of that is recently I was having kind of similar to you, right? Like not having like a 9-to-5, you dip back into this fear of a 401k and benefits and whatever trappings of capitalism there are, right? And I was just having this like really this day of scarcity, of a scarcity mindset that I actually haven't experienced in a while. So then I got scared that I was going back into a place that I didn't want to go to. So then all day I'm just stressed and I'm scared. And I love playing pickleball. This is my way to plug in that I love playing pickleball. But I went to the indoor club. It was like an intermediate pickleball night. And this really nice, I mean, the beginning, he was a really nice guy, went to partner with me. But then we get on the court and he looks at me and he says, you know how to play, right? And I immediately felt this like anger kind of come up. And, you know, there's nuance here, right? He was a cis white guy. And, you know, I think me being a brown man, a trans man too, like there's still something there. But this questioning of like, you know how to do this, right? Just like really, I couldn't sleep because I kept hearing him ask me that question. And then the next day, when I was like, okay, let me look for the magic in that, I realized that he was just an outward projection of what I was doing to myself. That entire day, I was asking myself, can you even do this? Can you do it? Can you do it? And then at the end of the day, this person who was so nice to me and then randomly 180s and is just like, can you even play this game? Really upset me because I was like, yeah, I can play this. And that's what I said to him. I was like, yes, I do know how to play this game. And so for me, finding that magic moment, even if it was painful in the moment, even though it made me angry in the moment, finding that magic the next day to be like, oh, that was literally just a physical manifestation of what I'm doing inside. Thank you for that gift. I'm done feeling that way and I can move on. So I think that technique of like, just find the magic every day, even if it's painful, believing that the universe is working in our favor, right, will really show you those magic moments every day.
Wow. Thank you so, so much for sharing that. And first of all, everything you said, I was following, but you know, it's interesting, right? Like, it's like the trauma of not being a cis white man, but it's also mm-hmm. like the nuance of it all of like, wow, where can I take like radical responsibility, what have you? Because if I was in your shoes, I know that it would take me a lot of grace and a lot of time to get there. Because I feel like mm-hmm. the anger is where I kind of stop, you know, like I yeah. get angry and I'm like F this guy, like, you know, like that's his fault, you know? And I think that's where I usually stop. So the fact that you're able to see the magic moment in that and see the nuance and be like, wow, what? That was a projection of something I've already reflected within me. So powerful. So, so powerful. Wow. Amazing. And I also wanted to add, right, if folks like me, because me included, I'm like so interested in working with you. If we mm-hmm. want to learn more about, you know, how we can work with you, learn more about your work, where can we find all this beautiful information?
Yeah. So my website is themindseye.com, themindsei.com. So you can go there to learn more information, learn my like code of ethics of sort of what I stand by, and the integrity that's really important to me for all of my sessions is listed on my website as well. And then my email is hello@themindseye.com as well. I am not currently on social media, though I have been receiving a download that I think I've been resisting from my spiritual team to go on social media. And, you know, I know that it's related to this whole concept of being seen, mm-hmm. especially after me coming out as trans and being on hormone therapy. And I feel like I'm now moving towards this place where social media isn't this bad place where I get drained and et cetera, and that it can be a place of education and really beautiful connection. So all that to say, right now, my website and email, and I know that in the future that there will be a social media presence that's coming as well.
Ooh, I just want to say personally, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Is your email on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so, so, so much, Einar. I personally like so interested in hypnotherapy and past life regression. I know that it helps a lot of people I know tremendously. So the fact that you're doing this work is honestly uplifting the vibration of the world, which is something we totally need right now. So thank you so, absolutely. So much. And this is actually, to everyone listening, this is actually my last podcast episode with Conscious Kitchen. So to everyone who has listened for the past couple of episodes, thank you so much for tuning in. It has been such an honor and a joy to be able to serve all of you, to be able to tap into the community that Laura and Liz have built for years. It has been so tremendously fun. I'm so excited to, you know, still stay connected. So check me out on Instagram or TikTok, what have you. And yeah, thank you so, 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 so much. Yay!